Is Gen Z really super entitled, or is the hustle culture killing India's next generation?
My own team tells me it's very hard to work with Gen Zs.
I feel like we are working harder than ever. So where is this gap?
I used to sit in the bathroom and cry.
I think the definition of hustle is, what else can I do with my life which is going to gratify me and satisfy me and help me put myself out there?
Your age cohort in my team surprises us with the turnaround time that they deliver.
Every young person feels they are underpaid.
Very low-paying job, but your boss is still expecting you to work the hours of a McKinsey business analyst.
Do you think people give up quickly because of this? They just give up because they feel like it's too much?
Namodo sir, Radhika, welcome back to the Barbershop. You both have been on individual, tremendously successful episodes. You guys have obviously run amazing businesses. Gauri, Vidit, welcome back to The Bridge. So just to give you some context, we started The Bridge as a way to connect two different groups of people. Okay. Our guests include folks like yourselves, CEOs, founders, leaders with decades of experience and a certain perspective. Our audiences were Gen Zs, you know, people in their first jobs, in college, sometimes even in school, totally different worldview and kind of very different. And just given technology, I think that dissonance was a lot more. And we started smelling this dissonance a lot more in our comments section on YouTube and on Instagram, where things that were being said were not landing. The comments were kind of completely opposite. And we said, you know, if our viewers and our guests think so differently about similar topics, it's best to get everyone on one table to represent different worldviews and different kinds of people. And today we have two esteemed CEOs and two extremely articulate and thoughtful Gen Zs to discuss the hustle culture and the Gen Z repulsion of it in general. And of course, your point of view, which has always been anything extraordinary, whether it's a career or an art, always requires disordinate effort. And so hustle culture might be the wrong word for it, but it is what it is. But yeah. Any thoughts to put on the table for you guys before we leave it to...
I feel like speaking for Gen Z, I feel like we understand the value of hard work. But I feel like there's a lot of pressure to... When you're in a typical 9-to-5 job, your bosses expect you to always work longer, like stay till, let's say, 7, 8, 9, always put in 120%. Yet, what has changed compared to, I think, previous generations is it's not as economically lucrative to be doing that. So, even now, we still have 24 hours in a day. Right? That hasn't changed. And you can see that Gen Z is more stressed. It's more difficult for us to afford things. So, it's not that we don't want to work 70 hours a week. I feel like we are working 70 hours a week or 80 hours or 90 hours. But it's that we don't want to spend all of that time in our jobs because they're just not that lucrative anymore. And if we were getting that productivity, that returns, I feel like you would invest that time. And I feel like at least in the start of my career, I have done my 18-hour days, all of that. But if I was, let's say, starting off in a typical mass hiring kind of organization, I probably would want to finish work at 5 and then work on my side hustle number 1 and my side hustle number 2. Only to afford rent, right? Like, I would not want to just be in office all day because I have other jobs to do to be able to afford what probably we don't need to do like 10 or 20 years ago.
And so that's a bunch of things to unpack, which is like incomes have not gone up. And, you know, there is a moonlighting element to it as well. Gauri?
I think it's also symptomatic of this post-liberalization wanting to work and make it big in life because there are so many opportunities in front of us. But I think the definition of this hustle is no longer that I need to go from one promotion to the other and I want to make it to VP by like 32, 33 or something. I think the definition of hustle is, what else can I do with my life which is going to gratify me and satisfy me and help me put myself out there. I think the one interesting thing that I'm seeing all around me is this power of choice. That the choice of making an exit if I'm not happy with something has become easy because I'm no longer scared of the repercussions because there's just so much that I can put myself or apply myself towards. So there is a lot of hustle culture, which is, of course, this manufactured idea of success that's all around us. But this hustle is also about, am I my fittest? Am I looking my best? Am I excelling in my job? Am I earning well? Do I have a thriving social life? All of that requires a certain kind of hustle that we're putting ourselves through. So I don't think that we're inching towards lazy. I think we're inching towards a little overstimulation on how do we continue to put our energy towards something else, which may or may not necessarily be this 9-to-5 job or an idea of a job.
There's a lot to unpack, you know. And nearly everything I or Damodar or anyone who's a CEO says on this topic is at the risk of getting trolled. So let me give that disclaimer and welcome all the trolls in the comments, you know, because we're not evil people. But I actually think, and you know, when my own team tells me it's very hard to work with Gen Zs, you know, tick they nahi, all the stuff that we typically hear.
Kaam nahi karte, like that's
a lot. All that stuff, I'm not saying it, you're saying it. But let me start by saying that I don't think people like us should look down on Gen Z. Because in part, I hear them. I think I was a child of liberalization. And effectively, I think there are three generations that India has seen. People born pre-65 who were born into a definite India of scarcity. And they were shaped by very conservative values, permanent job. I was born into a pre-liberalization India, but also grew up in post-liberalization. So I call it the sandwich India, the transitionary India, where my first job was not a government job, but it was not a startup. It was somewhere in the middle. And these guys, and I have a 2.5-year-old son, these guys are born into an India of abundance. So you can't compare the patience levels, the motivation levels of a Blinkit or Zomato or Swiggy or whatever generation to that of a generation that waited 10 years to get a landline. They're born into a different India. So I think it is important to respect the context. And I have no problem. My fundamental belief is that, to her point, everybody has choices, right? You choose to work 9-to-5. I have a problem with everyone saying 9-to-5 because Damodar and I will both tell you we work much harder than 9-to-5. 9-to-5 is pretty. 9-to-5 is not corporate world. Everyone has choices, right? You choose to live a life that has time to be fit, time to experience other things. By all means, it's fine, right? It's a choice you've made, and we are no one. And perhaps if you grew up in a more prosperous generation, you have the liberty to take those choices. But I still would go back to the fact that as an employer of a large number of people, for the time you're at the workplace, whether it's 9-to-5 or 8-to-6, and if the employer is asking you to stretch by 2 hours or stretch by 3 hours, I hope you enjoy the work. I hope the work doesn't feel like work. And, you know, every young person feels they are underpaid. I also did when I was 25. I always felt that I experienced all the downside of the company and I didn't get enough of the upside. I don't know what his take was. But I think disproportionate upside and career compounding happens with time. And I just feel Gen Z needs to want to invest in their own careers. That's my only ask. And whether it's, and not count hours, 9-to-5, 9-to-6, it doesn't matter. We should, and maybe we have the job of making workplace is more rewarding for you so that you don't need to count hours. And if you ask you to work one weekend, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. But do you think, like, I think Vidit made an interesting point, that is it worthwhile? Like for you guys and maybe even for me, it was worthwhile to put in the effort because at McKinsey, for example, I put in the hours, I will make partner in this much time or I'll make senior partner or you'll make CEO or whatever it is. I think today, given the bottom of the pyramid and the way jobs are getting created is so different and so, and the middle management is so bloated that the path to the top just seems like it's not real anymore.
This I don't agree with, Chandra. I look at, and we are not a startup financial services company. We are not the old ages. We're somewhere in the middle, right? If I look at most of my so-called middle management, we have a first-time CEO who became CEO at 35. I became CEO of the business at 33. In our own organization, Edelweiss Financial Services, I've seen so many people who become CEO at 33, 35, 38. So I don't argue. In fact, I think corporate India will have younger CEOs, not older CEOs, but those will be the people who put in those hours. So I think that's a little bit of a cynical view of the world that the pyramid is so large that anyway, I have no shot of becoming CEO before 50. So I'll give up on the exercise. I think you're giving up before starting.
So, from my point of view, I feel like we are working harder than ever. Whereas from your point of view, it seems like the general image of Gen Z is that they're not working hard enough, right? So where is this gap? Because I feel like there is just so much for us to do in a day, right? Like she said, like now because everything is so social and so online, I think there's so much focus on fitness. Like I'm supposed to wake up at 6 a.m., then go to work, then help at home, and then do this and then do that. So why is there this divide? Because I feel like I'm working harder than I've ever had.
For instance, I'm a mother now. I have a 2.5-year-old son. And this is a point to Gen Z. I work, I typically reach home by 6 o'clock, and we allow a lot of employees to leave at 5 because to Damodar's point, why do you want people to leave at 6:30 and sit in traffic? But then if there's a little bit of work to be done at home because the employer has given you that flexibility, then, you know, it's a two-way relationship. So I didn't take the full 6 months of maternity leave and it became a big issue. But I told my organization this. I said, I don't need 6 months of maternity leave because 6 months later, my kid doesn't grow up and say, Mama, go away. I don't need you. Right? I said, I need 4 or 5 years of trust. And so that means in the middle of the day, if I have to go drop him to school or for 3 weeks, I have to accompany him to mother toddler. The org also invests in me. So actually, it is building the bridges.
Is that a CEO privilege? Do you think at 24, it'll be possible? For a young mother, for example,
I tell you, our point of view, if I see this side of the bridge putting in that much, we will reciprocate. Trust is...
So, yeah,
but nobody wants to lose a good person.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think that we are shy from putting in those 2 extra hours or working a weekend. I think there is one debate around time spent and one debate around quality of work.
Yeah.
And both need to work together to compound towards that idea of success. So, if the quality of work is low, then the motivation to spend that time is low. If the quality of work is high, if I'm getting mentorship, I have a thriving culture. I think the challenge is because we're exposed to so many things. We know what good culture may look like, or we may know what working with good people looks like. That, you know, when I started my career, I used to write 600 emails for my MD every single day. That was the grunt work that, you know, I at that point despised. But now I know it taught me a lot of discipline. But for someone who's just starting out as a Gen Z today, if you expose them to these kinds of initial onboarding tasks, then the motivation is a downward curve. You need to expose them to enough ways or a roadmap for growth in your organization very early on that, you know, all the aspects of the work that you expose them to, you're one, balancing it out for them. Two, you're describing really tangible outcomes for them. Then the motivation to invest that time back and get ownership. I think ownership is a big thing. The moment we're so self-motivated as a generation, that the moment I see ownership somewhere and I want to feel like I'm a part of something larger, you sell a vision to me, I want to invest in that company, I am hook, line, sinker, all in.
But tell me one thing, isn't there a sense of impatience that comes in? For example, Abhijit said here that you're a very, very passionate about being a food entrepreneur. Because you have a certain worldview about what a food entrepreneur is. You make great culinary experiences, design a restaurant, you have a great meeting with Zomato. But 99% of the work is actually really, really hard. It's about getting the delivery, hiring right. It's about the kitchen, buying the kitchen equipment. It's about all of that stuff. It's grind. Literally, it's grimy stuff. And it's not good culture because that's the stuff no one puts on Instagram, right? When you joined HUL, for example, for 2 years, you have to be in sales, right?
I joined McKinsey. I mean, you are McKinsey and you work in retail. So and you know what the perception of joining McKinsey is. Like, I will consult to CEOs.
Not like that at all. 5 years is not like that.
My first project, Damodar, was at a retail store like this, but it was electronics. And my task was to follow people around the store because it was a cost optimization project.
Yeah.
And I used to, and I feel for you, I used to sit in the bathroom and cry.
Yeah.
Saying I'm a Wharton graduate, I'm working at McKinsey and I'm following people in a store like this.
Yeah.
But there's a bridge. Part of it is entry-level work is grunt work.
This is a license to play, right?
In financial services, some of it is grunt work just to learn Excel. It's like you learn maths tables to build skills.
And at least from my view, let's say if I was working at a McKinsey or I used to work in Nomura before I joined Bombay Shaving. I've done my grunt work as well, right? But I always felt a huge sense of ownership. I felt like my career was going somewhere. I was rewarded very well economically. So I didn't mind doing the grunt work, right? Because there was a clear path that I'm following, right? And I knew maybe if I do this for 20 years, I'll become partner and my life will look like this. And I'll probably then, I would see my partner talk to CEOs and picture myself there, right? What is happening with a lot of the other job roles where these conversations come up is when, you know, when you're in a very low paying job, but your boss is still expecting you to work the hours of a McKinsey business analyst, right? Okay. I think the bridge that I see, and I completely agree to everything you are saying, right? Like in this remote world that we live in, you can be available all the time and use the transit time to work, etc. And I feel like this is the gap, right? Like us as Gen Zs feel we are constantly available, right? Like I'm available, like whenever I wake up, I start talking to you, right? But the clock starts once I move, go to office, right? And then the question becomes, who is counting the hours, right? Because in our heads, the clock starts when I wake up and I start texting my boss and ends when I stop texting him and go to sleep, right? But for my employer, sometimes the clock only starts those hours I'm in office. And that's the perception that needs to change.
Actually, the clock shouldn't matter. There should be no clock.
Agree.
I mean, if I'm sitting on the weekend and we've been thinking of a marketing plan, and I happened to meet a guy like Damodar, like we met in Bay Club the other day, and we cracked an idea, and that was on a Friday evening. I mean, it was after the 9 to 5 that we are supposed to work.
Hmm.
But I think we've come upon something interesting that we may want to do together.
That is work, yeah.
There was no clock, and that was work. And I don't think my employer knows.
Yeah,
I met Damodar and we came up with something after work hours. I think we have to kill the clock from our head. I mean, one other point in, I think 20 years later, I'm also a mother. I run a house. I make sure ki ghar ke dabbe jaate hain, saman aata hai. I think while technology has made work pervasive in all our lives, as you guys get more responsible, technology has also made day-to-day life a lot easier. You don't have to go out and do grocery. Digital world has enabled so many other efficiencies in life. I don't think I could be doing everything that I'm doing without a digital ecosystem today. So while digital world has made technology pervasive, believe me, managing responsibilities has also become easier because of the digital world. I mean, at least as a working mother, wife, everything, it's much easier.
I hear that a lot from women who are leaders because they are used to hustling every single day. They hustle at home, they hustle at work, they hustle amongst their families. So hustle culture for women is a completely different thing.
It's just different.
You don't have the privilege of just hustling and putting yourself out on LinkedIn. You are hustling for basic everyday lifestyle.
Correct.
And you're trying to play that balancing act. And I know that I can be the most privileged Gen Z, but at some point socially, that is my path. I have to become a working mother and then I'll have to hustle in a completely different way. And so I don't have the ease of access to be lazy. As women, we can't afford to generally be lazy.
We actually work 100 to 120 hours a week without anyone having debates. The working woman who has children works 120 hours a week, but we are not a subject of national debate. So before I'll go into a board meeting, I'll be, because I don't have the luxury to walk into a store like this, I'll be ordering because the nanny will say diaper khatam ho gaya. So I'll be ordering diaper online and getting cranky and waiting for an OTP. And then someone will be calling me. This is reality. So a hustle culture for women, and one of the reasons I find some of this work-life debate a little unfair is a lot of it comes from men. And I will get trolled for saying this.
Agreed.
But the reality of women is very, very, very different.
Really? I don't think so. I don't even come from men. Men do really hard jobs.
All the comments about let's work weekends, let's work 70 hours a week, 90 hours a week. I've never seen one of those comments made by a woman. Because we know it's not possible. I'm telling you, I am the most...
Okay, you're saying the you're right. Okay, you're saying the anti-work-life balance comments.
The anti-work-life balance comments will never come from a woman because I am telling you, and I am in the position of greatest privilege. I employ an army of staff. I struggle. Forget someone asked me in the previous interview, what do you do to be fit? I don't have time.
Yeah.
I have a child. I don't have time. So all the anti-work-life balance comments also come from men. Now troll me for it.
I agree with you. I'm there.
Actually, the more I think about it, think hustle culture is just ingrained, right? Like if you're a woman in the workforce, like, you do this and then you're expected to go work.
If you're possessed by something, if you have a purpose, the argument will go away from your life. The hardest I have worked was when I was not with a corporation.
Yeah.
When I set up my own store.
Yeah.
Nobody asked me. I was the boss. Yeah. But that's when I worked the hardest.
But also,
That's fine. If you find a purpose, if you are driven that way, then you will find.
But accountability and rewards are also proportionate. That was the sir. The issue is when accountability is lower, rewards are far lower, but expectation is higher without the privilege or authority which comes with it, right? That's where it becomes very tricky to be Gen Z, for example.
It's an average job. No, anticipated reward is a story in your head.
No, sir. It's very contractualized, no?
I failed with my startup, but I worked the hardest.
Because failure happened later. But
so,
was going to be like...
So, I was not arguing. I was not seeking reward, balance. I was possessed. I'm saying if you find something like this, then the arguments will go out of the window.
Until then,
we have to do this balance.
But we hear a lot of leaders talk about this, and I don't know if you've seen this word called purpose porn on LinkedIn, which is that there's this delayed understanding that when I find my purpose, I am going to peak on my productivity.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the motivation, the vision, the time to do everything, but I'm just chasing an ambiguous purpose, which at some point is going to happen in my life.
Yeah.
And then Eureka, I'll work on it. And
you,
I'll meet.
You say it was your purpose in hindsight. When you are in it, you're doing the hustle. You're getting out of belief. It has to be irrational.
Yeah.
If it is not irrational, see, equilibrium never creates motion. Basic physics. Disequilibrium creates motion. So it will be irrational. You will feel mad. Your neighbors will tell you you are actually mad. But that's when probably you have a shot at something nicer.
I think one thing is corporate India can do, to their point, is there's a lot of talk about work hours. But what we're making people do in those hours. Like, I've had this wrestle with my team that if we're making young people do a lot of unproductive work in an era of AI, we are also silly. Like, we hire research analysts. Can we automate this away? Can we technologize this away? They will still do grunt work. But as India evolves, as the workplace evolves, as technology evolves, can the quality of grunt work also evolve?
Correct.
At least. And I think the other thing that I have learned last 6-7 years is we need to have far more open conversations with them. There's a belief sometimes that if there's something going on in the org and we don't communicate down the line, we don't need to communicate. It's still, they'll gossip by the coffee machine. Just because they're gossiping by the coffee machine doesn't mean we ignore it, right? You address the problem in the room. So I think our relationship with Gen Z in terms of communication, we also need to break the bridge.
One
or build the bridge.
The more ownership and belonging we feel, the harder and the more passionate we feel about what we do, I think.
We have a problem. We need you to work harder for 6 months. But you have the conviction to say, boss, we have a problem. Maybe more. But someone also
there has to solve this whole thing. Na, ki, you know, pehle mehnat karo, you know, uska phal baad mein milega. But I think more and more, as the phal ka jo visibility hai, wo bahut kam hai, I think the idea is to say, you know, this is what the path is. And that conversation is important so that then you at least know. And the unknowns become a little bit more known.
You know, there was that movie, it was a very old movie. Now, this Damodar will know. 90s, mein, there was a movie, Hum Hai Rahi Pyar Ke. You would also know, you are over. And they had this scene where Aamir Khan's working in a factory and there was a full crisis in his factory. And he goes up to everyone and he says, I can't give you a salary and all, but I'm in crisis. And it was Aamir Khan, he had this cute chocolate face. And all the women stood up and said, it was a moment ke hum karenge, hum 16 ghante kaam karenge, main 18 kaam karun.
Juhi Chawla.
Remember that whole scene? I think we need to be that vulnerable Aamir Khan version of ourselves.
Yeah, but I think it's also causing a lot of like mental health challenges because of the hustle culture. Because I can see the next guy is working on X projects and is getting that growth early on in life. My gratification may be delayed. I'm disillusioned by the corporate world. I want to try something else. The pressure that it is putting on me right now to want to diversify, put myself out there, have an opinion on things, try multiple things is crippling for a lot of people around.
Do you think people give up quickly because of this? They just give up because they feel like it's too much?
I think it's creating a sense. I don't know about giving up yet, but I think it's creating a lot of insecurity to even try.
That's a very good point.
You think so?
It's like getting a very tough gym trainer. He's like getting us 8-pack dude who was like fully ripped and you can't like put 3 minutes on the
pedal. We had Sharma ji ka beta aur beti in our era, but there was just one of them.
All the Sharma ji ka betas you see on LinkedIn, you only see their achievements, right? You don't see how much work they did to get.
You see through fraud also, like half the time is not even real.
You see through, and to your point, I'm saying, there is competition and there is competition.
Yeah.
The good thing that has happened is, if you want to step out, it's no longer risky. I'm comparing with even 10 years back.
It isn't.
So that's why. Why do you want to give up faster? Because there is a safety net. The whole overall, the alternatives available are good. If I said you will be on the street, like hell you will give up.
Yeah.
So that happened to the previous generation. Today, I think it's a good thing that you feel impatient. You want more out of life. You want to try out something else.
I think you guys should stop comparing. I feel for you. So I'm on social media. But I really think you guys should stop comparing, because comparison is the bloody recipe to unhappiness. I mean, I win awards, I do X, Y, Z. People come up to me and say, oh, let's take selfies. You know, my classmate is Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
You compare my wealth, his wealth, my ex, his ex. It is a recipe for permanent unhappiness. And there's a Mark Zuckerberg equivalent in everybody's existence. And there's all... Everybody's marriage looks good on Instagram. Everybody's portfolio looks fab on Twitter. And everybody's career is killing it on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But everybody sees through it also. So I think it's fine.
I'm hoping so.
At a younger age, I don't think so. At a younger age, it's very hard to think through. Yeah. It's very hard to see through the crap. Like I have to do like 15-20 minutes into an interview. I suddenly realized that this is actually more fraud than substance.
I didn't see through it till 30. It took me a long time to see through.
I've trained myself. Now I can read through AI. Ye padh ke aayi
hai. It takes time to see through it.
But a lot of times for us, it's like, you know, like for example, we all want to be rich like Elon Musk, but the amount of work Elon Musk does in his life, and no one wants that.
Of course. Yeah.
On social media, you only see the best.
And social media is...
It's social media.
Is... It's the front stage of people's life. It's not the backstage of people's life.
Yeah, that's the quote I was going to talk about. That don't judge the front stage of someone's life with the backstage of your life. But when you're in the backstage, then all this wisdom goes out of the window. Then you are not focusing on your backstage. Then you're focusing on someone's front stage.
A significant part of my work is what I would at my stage call grunt work.
Mine too.
And I think most people.
Most people.
Most people.
And it's worth it.
Because even for example, this whole thing, with this whole crew and all of that stuff, is never visible on when you're screen, you know, kind of seeing a reel of the Babble Shop or Shark Tank, whatever. Oh, the amount of work that goes into it is crazy. And most of it is bad, not fun, grimy work. But
For 1 hour of telecasted pitches on Shark Tank, 1 hour of telecast or 1.5 hours.
2-3 weekends, right?
It's a 15-hour day shoot where lunch is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And if I tell a young person this, they're like, huh? I'm like, but that is what it is for 1 hour.
I agree. I did not know a Shark Tank pitch is like for 2 hours, which gets condensed to like a 10-minute thing. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. And there's this hair and makeup. So when you're a woman, there's 3 hours of hair and makeup.
Not here. Like.
And the reason. No, even for men, there is. Yeah, you need the makeup. And the reason the judges get so happy every time there's a food-based contestant is there's no food. So every time there's a, because you get food at like 4 o'clock and said food's horrible. So every time there's a guy who's got a Maggie business or a, you know, chaat business, you're like, khanala, khanala, aja, khanala. You all talk, khanala. This is grunt work, man. This is reality.
The good thing about running a food business, you give food to make the person happy. The deal is kind of more probable to happen.
And the food even tastes good. The food doesn't taste that good. Food is very good. I'm hungry. Television industry is one of the most hardest working industries. Yeah. And you know, someone was complaining on the Shark Tank set about 15 hours. And this guy told us, a showrunner, he's like, you know, next to us is that set of Kaun Banega Karodpati. And there is a man who comes here at 7 in the morning and stays there till 11 at night, takes photographs, and he does it again and again, and he's 80 years old and his name is Amitabh Bachchan. So stop complaining.
Wow. The question always is it easier to do it when you're Amitabh Bachchan?
The argument I would have is, and there's a great Bachchan story, that when he was doing the first shoot for KBC, because it was the first time on television, he did 50 days of rehearsal 2 times a day. And that's the Brits from Who Wants a Millionaire said, is he doing this because he's Amitabh Bachchan? I was like, he's Amitabh Bachchan because he's doing this, right? You don't become Amitabh Bachchan and look as proficient on TV. Mm-hmm.
And he personally, he was at his lowest point when he chose to do that. It was a high risk, high grant, high everything, even for him.
That's the backstage.
That's the backstage.
Yeah, and I think at some point it shows in life, like that compounding effect, you can see through the authenticity of whether work has gone into it or faff has gone into it. Because you can't hold on to the ruse for so long.
I think the funda is, the compounding is visible only looking back.
In retrospect, yes.
Going in, it is belief and madness and commitment. I think that's how
Lots of commitment. Lots and lots of commitment.
See, you both have done so well in your life and you have flourishing careers ahead. I think for folks who are watching, and I think language is also an interesting thing, right? Like, I've noticed this increasing habit of making everyday struggles and attaching language to it that make them seem way bigger than it is. Like, so for someone, an uncomfortable feedback chat with the boss can immediately become hustle culture because you have hustle culture all the time on your Instagram, right? And you're like, oh, you know, that's not what it is, right? But on the other hand, I think there is a reality that incomes are not going up at the same rate. Competition is a lot higher. So that bridge or that dialogue is very important for CEOs to have as well. But Gauri, Vidit, Radhika, Damodar sir, thank you so much for such an amazing conversation.